Hey everybody, it's me. I am back after a couple of weeks or so. I wanted to do an episode a little bit sooner than what I had been doing the last little bit because there had been some longer gaps. And even though podcasting is a bit of a hobby of mine, I still wanted to have some type of frequency in order to have a, something put out there rather than procrastinate, because why bother doing all the work, doing all the buying all the equipment unless you're going to use it? And so that's what, not the only reason that this episode is for, but it's one of my strong motivators because, as you know, procrastination is one of the killers of art. And while I wouldn't say this is art, it is something creative that I enjoy doing. So let's get right into it. I thought I would start off by saying I am looking forward to the next month. I am going to be doing two things, both of which I'm going to love coming up in the next month and a half. And that would be is one, I'm going to see Matthew Good in concert. I love that guy, even though he has had his issues. When I say I love this guy, I love his music. I love kind of the style of his music, as well as he's been around for over 20 years. And I'm a big fan of Canadian music, so wanting to put my support behind not one of the OGs, but certainly one of the middle G's of Canadian music. And so I'm going to see him so I don't support some of his problematic behavior that he's done in the past. But I think he's had some a bit of a rebirth in terms of keeping himself well taken care of in the sense of his health and kind of taking it at a kind of a chiller pace and doing something that he wants to do versus trying to chase the fame train. The other thing I'm going to be doing is going to the Calgary Expo, which I don't go every year, but I did go last year and I did enjoy it. This year, I'm hoping it'll be okay. There are some great people showing up in terms of celebrities. Jason Lee's showing up, Ethan Suplee. There is Giancarlo Esposito. You may notice, those of you who do have listened to more than just this podcast, know that at the Edmonton one last year, that's the guests that were there. And so a bit of a repeat for some of these people. Cameron Monaghan's going to be there though, and I do enjoy his work on Gotham. I do enjoy his work on Shameless. He is a very talented actor. I have not really delved into the games that he has voiced, but I do hear that the Star Wars Fallen Order and Survivor games were pretty good. So it'll be interesting. I think I'll check him out. And so, yeah, it'll be fun. The topic of this episode, however, is something that is, depending on which side of the fence you're on, either one of the cheesiest shows to kind of be canceled in the 90s, back when supernatural stuff was trying to hit big, and some who did hit big properties in terms of the 90s, like Buffy. And this one did not hit that. It is known as being a one season wonder, and some people would argue that it's not even a wonder, it's more of a blunder. And that would be the show American Gothic, which ran for one season in 1995. I like to believe that I'm on the other side of the fence of a fan who's greatly appreciative of it for a lot of the things that it tried to do, but I think it did not receive the clear support it deserved. You look at some of the things that, or some of the properties that are out now, I think it tried to do something that was in a similar vein. It was a supernaturally based television show meant to be a drama, ran for an hour, and it had some fairly decent hitters, like back then, in terms of actors, both in terms of some well-known names at that time. Gary Cole was part of it. Paige Turco was a strong television actor back in the 90s. Gary Cole, known for Office Space, Talladega Nights. Those are some of the comedies, but he's known for other stuff as well. And also people who would later go on to be famous, such as Melissa McBride for the Walking Dead series, Sarah Paulson for American Horror Story and other stuff, but definitely her vehicle was American Horror Story. There was some people who later turned out to be famous and infamous, Danny Masterson. And then there was Lucas Black, who was a child actor for that show at the time, and then became an adult star who was less known. Like, he tried to do Fast and the Furious, was the title character as an adult, and one of the few, for the only Fast and Furious where Vince Diesel wasn't in it. Tokyo Drift, and didn't do very well. He was reprised in that same role years later as part of the, I'll call it Furious Verse. That's just my thing. But he's also been on NCIS, and I believe NCIS or CSI, definitely in the CSI universe in the shows there. But he had a fairly good stint as a child actor, even though, like, not widespread fame in all the genres, but he's maintained a very level career over the decades. And so the show had the following premise. There was Gary Cole in the role of Sheriff Buck, and Sheriff Buck was kind of this devil archetype that was incarnated into the sheriff of a Midwestern town, and called Trinity. And he had this very obsessive dedication to his illegitimate child, Caleb, who was played by Lucas. And then there was Caleb's sister, older sister Merlin, played by Sarah Paulson, who you find like this interesting sort of a different role where she played something supernatural because she was killed off in the opening sequence of the first episode. And she was became Caleb's guide throughout the whole show and was seen as like this pure entity, at least for a while. And then Caleb played this kid who had had his family torn apart because Sheriff, in the opening sequence, like I said, murders his sister, puts his father into jail, frames him, and then his father dies, and his mother had been dead long ago. So he is all alone in this town of Trinity with Sheriff Buck, always trying to win him over to his side. And it's always, hinted at, not so very subtly. I mean, it's nothing like Carnivale in terms of its subtlety and layers. It's pretty much you get the idea after a while. It's like, okay, Sheriff Buck's the devil. He may not, we didn't never found out if they're actually going to say he was the devil and Caleb was the Antichrist, but it's pretty strongly mentioned that he's at least a devil archetype and Caleb's an Antichrist archetype. But in the show, the battle kind of revolves around Caleb's soul and who's he going to join. And so, intriguing premise, but I think what I would like to say is that the show didn't suffer because of the premise. The show just suffered because of the execution. There was some pretty cheesy writing in some of those shows. And so it had, you know, it was on CBS, which CBS, you know, at least in my opinion, didn't, at least back then, have a lot of, you know, greatly layered, as well as it was 90s network television. And network television at that time wasn't always greatly layered as well, although there would be greater context that would come later for TV shows. And so it suffered from that. And not that good shows couldn't be done at that time. It's just that there wasn't great writing, in my opinion. It was very schlocky, very dramatic, meant to be very dramatic and chewing the scenery type of writing. Secondly, a lot of the arcs for characters had very weird, sort of jerky kind of arcs. And they always seemed to be rushing, or they wanted to build, and you never knew kind of what was happening. Like, where you had a doctor character in the beginning of that season, and it looked like he was going to be built up to be one of the main characters of that universe, and then all of a sudden he was done. Sheriff Buck took care of him, didn't kill him, but took care of him in a very effective way and drove him to insanity. Now my cat is meowing in the background, if you don't hear, if you do hear that, and I don't know if she's disagreeing with me, or she's, again, seems to know when I'm doing something other than giving her attention, so she decides that she doesn't like that. So there was that. There was, again, all of a sudden just this start and then stop. Never gets really, you know, it kind of promises something and doesn't deliver. I guess that's the word I'm looking for, is not living up to promises for some of the characters. And well, there's some, like I said, I never knew quite its identity, if it wanted to be something subtle in terms of biblical, or if it wanted to be kind of a horror show, like American Horror Story, or both. Like, it wasn't subtle enough to be kind of a metaphor or an allegory, as sometimes, or a genre turner like American Horror Story can be, or a. Well, if it wants to be just full on kind of so schlocky and campy at times that it's good because it knows its genre, similar to Buffy. And like I said, I know there is a deeper stuff going on about Buffy, but it was, again, it used the campiness of it to its advantage, whereas American Gothic never did. It just got campy and bad while trying to take it, while trying to portray that, look, we're so serious. But sometimes it just came off as bad. It had some cool star power. Like I said, Bruce Campbell was in an episode, but the episode he was in was super bad. Like, in my opinion, it was one of the worst ones of the season, of the one season it was on. It just really squandered. I don't know if they knew it was going to be canceled at some point, or if it was just finding its way and it never got to find its way because it was canceled. Also, and I do remember this, it was had really bad delivery of its episodes. So what happened was it actually got preempted a few times, and I remember because I watched it back then when it first came out, and it got preempted a few times, as well as then they showed some of the episodes out of order. So then you're kind of going like, what's going on here? It's gotta be, there's gotta be some story here, but you just never got the bigger picture. And then you had later on a very kind of anticlimactic kind of, you don't know if it was an ending or not, because it didn't really tie up anything, but it seemed like this very pivotal point, and I think it was just unceremoniously canceled because it was shown out of order, but it was meant to be the last very, it is the last episode, was that at the end, spoiler alert, is that Merlin comes looking for Sheriff Buck and gonna get vengeance for what happened to her, as well as trying to keep him away from Caleb. And so the big twist at the end is that all of a sudden it shows in a very cheesy way that Caleb is very connected to Sheriff Buck, and that there's a lineage there, and that there's an evilness to Caleb as well, not just that there's all this good. And so it really did not pull it off well at all. And so I do think that if there was a series that could do with a reboot, given all the progressions that have happened in storytelling due to streaming, I think either a reboot, I don't think a sequel would be good because some of the people are aged, whether you could bring back some of them, but you'd have to have some sort of really good story to tie it in where Caleb is at now, Sheriff Buck, everybody, or you just reboot the whole thing and make it all up again and tell the foundational pillars of the old story, but do it better. And so if anybody would be listening, which I would bust out laughing right now at if somebody else said that, but in terms of like someone listening to this right now, but if you, anybody out there in the world, want to do a reboot of a property that has been dormant for quite a long time, I say try out American Gothic. Give it a good treatment. Do better with it than it was handled last time. And so that's my plea for, there's so many other properties that get gobbled up and given remakes. And yes, American Horror Story's done it better and for a lot longer. And so maybe it's fading, that kind of property. But I don't think so. I think it's worth giving it a good shot. It could be a good streaming service that could be bundled together and tell an overarching story arc over a whole season versus just this focused effort versus a shoddy mess, which was last time. So that's my plea to the world. And that is it for this time. I'd like to thank you all for listening, for those who do, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye.